Hi guys, welcome back to Miscellaneous Pleasures. This is a quick short video slash podcast, depends on which platform you're using. On the, you could say review, not I don't want to call it review. It's sort of like a discussion, one-sided discussion on the Manchester Derby that took place yesterday, which finished nil-all, and there you go. For people who are listening to this on podcast, I am actually showing a screen of the Premier League table right now, and I will talk a few things about the games that have happened this weekend, and you know, so whatever is there on the screen, I'll talk about it, so you won't be missing much, or rather any. So yeah, there we go. Yeah, so let's get into the crux of the thing. I mean, it was a nil-all game, and it was a nil-all game in terms of the scoreline as well as the performance of the team, because I remember saying to my brother, who, I mean, we were watching together, and I told him around the 60th minute mark that this game has nil-all written all over it. And I think it was before Pep made his substitution. I think the first substitution was, let me check. I think it was Mahrez who went off for Ferran Torres. Just a second. Yeah, in the 68th minute. So yeah, I think I told the statement at about 63rd or 54th minute. And the thing is, as a United fan, I'm not really sure as to how I should feel right now. Because a part of me is happy that we have got a draw from this game, and you know, we have Sheffield and Leeds as the next two games that we should be winning, and if we do win them, we would have 26 points from 13 games, which is not bad, because if you maintain that average, you get to 76 from 38 at the end of the season. I mean, it might look like a weird sort of statement from a fan perspective, because you know, I'm talking of points per game, and you know, not in terms of where United should be present in the table, which is ideally top of the table or at least top four. And I mean, I would like to talk in those terms, but the fact of the matter is that, first of all, let's get this straight. United have played one game less than the rest of the league. And when I say rest of the league, I don't mean Aston Villa, because they have played two games less than the rest of the league. So, I mean, City are on the same boat as us. So, I mean, it then becomes a difficult conversation to have when you're going to talk about comparing the teams. Let's say I compare Chelsea with United. A lot of people would probably agree that Chelsea were in a good run of form before yesterday when they lost to Everton. And, you know, it was a positive vibe, and, you know, everything seemed to be going good around the club. And if you talk of United, since the beginning, it has been negativity, negativity, negativity till the 6-1 result. And even after that, the win that we got against West Brom, it was painted as sort of a negative result or a negative sort of performance, if not the result, because it was just a 1-0 and people are talking about how West Brom could have won that game or at least gotten something out of it. I don't remember the fixtures sort of roster that we have. I think we had PSG next, and even that was, people are calling it an Ole masterclass, but then there were other people who called it, you know, United against big size, they always perform, that sort of a narrative, and not really an appreciation. And that has been going on before this game, and obviously the Champions League exit hasn't helped our causes. But having said all of these things, our game in hand is Burnley, and if we win the game, we would be ahead of Chelsea, because Chelsea are at 22 points from 12 and United are on 20 from 11. We win our game in hand, we would be at 23 from 12, which is ahead of Chelsea. And having listened to that statement and now listen to this fact, you go, I mean, United ahead of Chelsea in the Premier League table, that is not the narrative that is going around, is it? So yeah, Yeah, I don't really have much to say on that. I mean, because as I said, this whole conversation I brought up because I am talking in terms of points per game simply because I cannot talk in terms of the position because we have played one game less. There is an Aston Villa. I mean, this is fantastic, right? Aston Villa, I think, won yesterday. Yeah, they did. And they have 18 points from 10. And if they and they have Man City and Newcastle as their games in hand, even if they get like 4 points from them, again, they would be at 22 from 12, which is same as Chelsea. And right now, Aston Villa are 10th on the table. So I think pointless to talk about the league position and stuff like that, apart from if you want to talk about Spurs and Liverpool, because they are at least ahead of everybody else. So yeah, that's one point. Talking of the game in itself, it was a, you know what it felt like? It felt like, I'm going to give a cricket reference here. It felt like a team had to chase about 350 in the last day of a test match on a day 5 pitch. That's what it felt like yesterday. As the team who is going to chase, you are then in a position of making a decision. Do you want to take the risk of trying to achieve the target and, you know, win the game? Or do you want to play it safe and get a draw? And yesterday, both the teams decided to take the option number 2, the safer option, which was to take a draw. And even though you could argue that City made substitutions, which sort of like were at least some sort of a like for like or in a way attacking sense, actually they didn't, did they? Even they made only one substitution, so there you go. So even in terms of substitutions, right, I mean, forget the gameplay, even the substitutions that the managers made, there were just one from each side. And you could argue that there could have been substitutions made for either side. So I mean, I am looking at the City bench. They have Gundogan and Bernardo Silva and Phil Foden, actually. I mean, they have obviously a very good bench, who could have come on, and the only person who came on was Ferran Torres. So, and Guardiola kept Fernandinho and Rodrigo, or Rodri, I don't know how his name is pronounced. I forgot. So he kept them from the first minute till the 90th because he was obviously worried about the defense and conceding on the counter. So that was from their end. And from United's point of view, we obviously started with a diamond. And I mean, I don't know if it was a diamond, but it definitely had four sort of midfielders with Greenwood and Rashford as sort of the split strikers, with Bruno as the floater sort of position. And, you know, there was a point in the game, I think somewhere around the 60th minute mark, where I personally thought that at least for 10 minutes, I understand that Solskjaer wanted to maintain that sort of a shape and structure and formation. But at some point of time, I felt like United had to, I mean, they did bring Martial on, but I felt like he should have brought Martial on for a Pogba or a McTominay, because and then have the front three play for at least 10-15 minutes before making the Van de Beek sort of substitution, Van de Beek for one of the forwards, to again go back to the original formation. And the thing is, this is not a heavy criticism on Solskjaer from my side, but right now the feeling that I have is a sort of a feeling where I, you know, it's like sort of regret, where, you know, You're wondering whether a substitution like that or a change in formation just for 10-15 minutes, could it have made a difference in a positive sense for United? And that's the risk I'm talking about. Like the analogy that I made for cricket, like you could go and chase the target and try to do it in some one phase of the game. And if you feel like the game is going away from you instead of being in a drawish position or a winning position, then you could obviously go back to the defensive sort of structure. And yesterday it was just two teams who had played each other quite a lot last season, who had both had plans for each other, and it just cancelled out. And it was a dull affair, obviously, but more than that, it was just a, it just felt like a pointless game. Like, you know, sometimes when it happens, like again a cricket analogy from my side, you have a toss and one team wants to bat and another team wants to bowl, then what's the point of having the toss? It's just a procedure, right? It's just sort of like you have to follow the process. And yesterday's game felt like that. It almost felt like both teams were worried about each other and did not risk anything for that. And in the end, it almost felt like, why play this game? Just, you know, just accept a draw from at the first minute and just stand around for 90 minutes and then move on to your lives. So yeah, that is essentially what I'm still feeling like, I mean, the game finished about 20 hours ago. Yeah, 20, 21 hours ago. And in all this time, I'm still feeling the same things that I felt at the end of the game yesterday. In terms of performances, Luke Shaw, absolutely fantastic. I mean, Ferran Torres didn't do absolutely anything after coming on, and even Mahrez, not much. It feels like Luke Shaw was good in terms of passing, tackling, defensive, perfect. I mean, offensive, yes. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know what he was asked to do, so I can't really comment on that sort of an aspect. I mean, I can't say that Luke Shaw did not go towards the byline and put like 5-6 crosses in the game, because was he even told to do that? Was it even part of the tactical structure? So I can't, you know, make a comment like that on his offensive output. Maguire was good. In the first half, 15-20 minutes, there were like two or three opportunities for Man City where they could have played the perfect through ball and they could have had a very good opportunity. And in all three occasions, somebody made the interception, the crucial interception, and I think Maguire did like once or twice. And obviously Fred, fantastic, again proving to be the first choice in terms of the defensive midfielders. I don't know if he's good enough to be the sole defensive midfielder in the team, but he's definitely good enough, or he's the best in the team at that position. So, you know, that's sort of a positive. I mean, I don't have any negatives for anybody, probably apart from Bruno, Greenwood and Rashford. Rashford and Greenwood, it's not a criticism, but more like, I mean, I can't give them criticism because they never really had the opportunity to do anything. Like, it is almost sort of a midfield battle, and these two people, even when they got the ball, somebody was almost always on them. So, you know, they didn't really have any time to actually pass it around or do something. And I mean, there were a few instances of quick play, the triangle sort of that United always play with during attacks, where it was sort of like Fernandes, Wan-Bissaka and Greenwood on one side, and it was sort of Pogba, Rashford and Luke Shaw on the other. And the right hand side one for us was sort of successful in the first half, like there were a few opportunities created from that sort of a play, but it did not really result into anything. So, you know, and this is the thing, right? Like, I don't really remember a proper chance that United created yesterday. Like, I think we had like more shots than them. I have to just check the stats. Yeah, we did have 11 shots to their 9 and on target 2 each. And even possession, right? Like, I remember Mourinho or Solskjaer, like United under them, last season, the season before, I quite vividly remember City having like 65-70% possession. And I was actually surprised at halftime yesterday when I saw that United had like 48, I think. At the end of the first half, I think United's possession was 48%, and at the end of the game, it's 46. So, I mean, even in terms of possession, City did not dominate yesterday. Like, there were games last season where City dominated in terms of possession, but we were just good in the counter. But City were like, you know what, we're not going to let you counter, so you can have the ball, we will have the ball, they just play it around and then go home. That's exactly what I felt like about yesterday. And, you know, I mean, as I said, the only criticism I have is probably for Bruno Fernandes, as I said, because I felt like there were a few moments where he... It is not about the risk-taking factor, but it's more about the precision in his passing, in his... Yeah, I don't think it was his day yesterday, and, you know... Yeah, that's all. Like, I mean, I can't really give him criticism because he's our best player, and I thought that he should have done better yesterday, that's all. And Pogba was good yesterday. It was very good. I won't say very good because I don't think anybody was very good apart from probably Luke Shaw and Fred. Pogba was good, better than he has played before. And again, what do you want from Paul Pogba is the question that I think everybody should be asking ourselves. And I personally always want to see three, sort of two wingers and one center forward in the team, the playing 11. So it is always going to be, or has to be, Cavani or Martial up front, with Rashford and Greenwood on the wings, or Rashford and Martial, or Martial and Greenwood, or even Mata in some occasions, Daniel James in some occasions, stuff like that. And that only leaves three positions in the midfield. And Fred has to be one, Bruno has to be one. And I think it just has to be a question of whether you want McTominay, Pogba, Matic, or Van de Beek. And right now, I mean, Pogba is not in the top of the pecking order for me, from all those four players. I just think that it has to be on terms of game-by-game basis and, you know. And as I said, what I want from Pogba, I just want him to not make mistakes and just play well. I don't want him to score 20 goals and have 20 assists in a season. I just want him to have like 6-7 goals and probably 7-8 assists. About 15 goals and assists in a season. And, you know, just keep on giving those 7 out of 10 performances. Yesterday was a 6.5 to 7 out of 10. Keep giving those and, you know, occasionally 8 or 9. Just don't have like a 4 or 5. Because what happens is, I feel like a lot of the times, it just takes the focus out of the game or out of Manchester United or some other player that should be having the focus on. And the whole sort of narrative, the fans talking about, everything is around Paul Pogba, and it's not helping him, it's not helping United, it's not helping anybody. So, I mean, from his side, that's all I want. And he did that yesterday, and I hope that he continues to do that in the future games. That's all. I mean, I don't really have much to say apart from all of this. Like, as I said, it was such a dull affair. And I mean, City had like two or three opportunities. I remember De Gea making a good save, a good block from Maguire, I remember. And, you know, yeah, I think United's man of the match is definitely Luke Shaw from me. And moving on to other games that have happened this weekend. I mean, it was late drama in the Wolves-Villa game. I did not have an opportunity to look at the red card incidents. Like, I just saw it. I did not even see it live. I just saw it in the Google sort of notifications that Villa had a penalty in the 94th minute. So I didn't actually see this thing, the actual game or the highlights. Leeds lost 2-1 to West Ham, and Leeds have, you know, again shown that they can create chances, but they don't have the precision in the final third to actually do something with those opportunities that they create. And defensively, they are shit. So, you know, team, as I said, I don't see them finishing in the top 10. Actually, I don't even see them finishing in the top 12 or 13. I think right now they're 14th, and they have conceded 22 goals from 12 games. You can't survive in this league by conceding those many. So, I'm not saying that they're going to be relegated, obviously not. But they're probably going to finish 15th to 10th. Depending on the results that they get towards the end of the season. Everton-Chelsea, again, a game that I did not watch. And I heard that there were two penalties given, missed. I don't know what's going on. Like, Everton, I don't think they're good enough to be in the top six. But they are good enough to get results on their day. And yesterday, I don't even know if Everton played well or Chelsea played bad. Like, I have no idea. I just know that Everton won, so that too through a penalty. So, yeah, I mean, as a Chelsea fan, I guess you'd probably be still happy with the position that you're in the table and the amount of points that you have after 12 games, which is 22. And you probably have to be worried slightly about Kai Havertz. Like, he hasn't. I mean, he scored a hat trick in some random, I think, Carabao Cup or something like that. I remember, but he is taking a good amount of time to actually, you know, settle in this league. I don't know if he will actually play to his potential in this league, and I hope from a United perspective he doesn't, but from a football perspective he does. And it'll be interesting to see. Same goes for Werner. Like, I don't know if Lampard is actually using him well. Like, I remember when he was playing for Leipzig, Werner used to play as part of the front two, and they played with like a weird, not a weird, but you know, two defensive midfielders, two cams and two forwards. And maybe, you know, playing alongside another striker is sort of the thing that he's used to. And I don't know, like, I'm not sure if Chelsea are using him well, because I do rate him. And there you go. Spurs just drew to Palace about an hour ago. I was watching that game before I started recording this, and actually even Liverpool vs Fulham is currently nil all after 26 minutes. So, wait, is Jota starting? Oh, Jota is not even in the squad. Interesting. So he did have some injury. Like, I sort of read an article that said that Jota is probably injured and not going to feature this weekend. The Spurs game, I mean, to all the Spurs fans who are watching this, right, let me just say something very clear. You are going to see this happen with you time and time and time and again this season, because this is what Mourinho's teams do. You go 1-0 up and you feel like you're in complete control in the first half. Nothing is going wrong. You're probably going to win this game 2-3-0. And then Mourinho does what Mourinho does best, or should I say worst, is that suddenly the team, for some reason, starts to sort of give the opposition the initiative. They go like, you know what? Play your football, show us what you can do. And Crystal Palace did show that multiple occasions in the second half, where Eze, Benteke, Zaha, I don't know if who else was there in the front. I mean, Slup was the guy who scored. Who came on? Andros Townsend, yeah. Like, people like them, they were creating opportunities. Van Aanholt was bombing forward, and it was a literal classic Mourinho thing that I saw have happened with United numerous occasions, where you would go 1-0 up and you're like almost waiting for the opposition to score, and then suddenly you feel the urge and the intensity to again start playing well. And it would depend on whether it's your day or not, you score the second goal. And today it was obviously not Spurs' day to have that sort of a moment. And this is one of the reasons which probably fans could say that Spurs won't win the league. It is possible that they might, but this sort of a mentality, like, I saw it so many occasions against United and with United for Mourinho, and I was just, after a point, it was just like, why would you do this? Like, once, for once at least, don't do this. And, you know, I mean, this happened against Newcastle also, right, for Spurs. I mean, of course, the goal that they did get, that handball was sort of a, not a sort of, it was a very dodgy decision, and it shouldn't have been a handball. But at the end of the day, you have to take the opportunities, and you have to sort of take the initiative to not let the other team sort of gain an upper hand in the game. And for some reason, Mourinho teams always do that against the smaller sides. So, you know, as I said, Spurs fans, this is going to happen with you time and again, and, you know, just brace yourselves for it, as well as brace yourselves for the shitstorm that's going to come in the third season for Mourinho. I hope that that doesn't happen, just for the sake of football, and I do want Mourinho to be in this league and not get sacked every time in his third season. But, you know, patterns do repeat, and this is a pattern that is repeating. And just as I'm speaking, Fulham are 1-0 up against Liverpool, and they have actually played well, apparently, according to the commentary that I'm just reading, which says that Fulham do deserve the lead that they have, and the stats do say that they have had 5 shots and 4 on target. Liverpool have had just 1. So, yeah, I hope Liverpool lose today, which would mean that I mean, regardless of the Liverpool result, Chelsea have lost, United and City have drawn. Nobody could care less about Arsenal. Liverpool are obviously losing right now. I mean, it could go either way. So, essentially, right now, three of the top four are either losing, have lost, or have drawn. So, basically, dropped points. And if you go further down, you probably have United and City who have dropped points both. So, it has been a tough weekend for the Big Six. And Arsenal are obviously playing, I don't know who they are playing. They're playing Burnley. I mean, it would be the most Burnley thing to do to lose final to City and beat Arsenal. And it would be a fun watch to actually have AFTV's people having a rant if they lose to Burnley. And I'm hoping that that happens. I'm looking forward to it. That's all for this video slash podcast. As I said, I mean, this is sort of the tone that I was carrying even for the preview that I did. Not the preview, I did what? Yeah, I did the Premier League preview, right? Like 3 or 4 days ago. This is sort of the same sort of tone and like mood that I had that day, where I was like, I was worried, I was nonchalant, I was indifferent, I was tired, all because of Manchester United, all at the same time. And right now, I feel the same things, along with a sort of a regret, sort of excited with the fact that we have 20 points from 11 and that we could beat Sheffield and Leeds and have 26 from 13, which is good signs. And, you know, yeah. So, that's all for this one. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Bye, guys.